27. Fury of the Damned.
There are several important aspects to watch for when studying Aeldus's tusks. First is size. They should be longer than your arm. The ones I keep in the Vizierm Expanse have tusks nearly as long as my legs. The second is the sheen. If the tusk is too bright, then the Aeldus has not matured enough. You want to find one with a decent balance between shiny and dull. Too dull means the Aeldus is fairly old.
From Kolvinar Vryum's Bestiary for Conjurers, page 114. Kalamir cursed furiously as the horrifying beast landed amid the party, crushing several soldiers.
No!
He drew his sword from its sheath. His shield, however, was across the camp.
I'll have to do without it, he thought as he dashed toward the monster, hoping that the barjan encasing him would be sufficient protection.
The beast whipped its tail while swatting away the nearby soldiers and mages with its six arms. Never in all his years had he seen anything like this creature, especially not something intelligent enough to speak. Amid the monster's movements, that orange mist settled into the hallway, veiling everything in an orange hue. Steeling himself, Kalamir lunged with his sword ready to strike. Behind him, frantic screams intensified into sounds of utter dread. That black tail swept toward Kalamir as it flung a soldier and mage across the hall. Throwing himself forward, Kalamir narrowly evaded the tail. As he fell, he glimpsed those near the monster not shielded by barjan. The men and women screamed, clutching their heads. Had their panic been a result of the mist? Kalamir continued his dash and leapt over a pair of packs. The creature had grabbed several mages who were mustering deadly blasts. Several soldiers swung at the monster's forelimbs, but the beast didn't seem to care. It was too busy trying to crush the mages. What was this creature? Was it a protector of this never-ending labyrinth? Kalamir shot a fierce glance to Vayum. The scholar was running away from the battle.
A coward and a liar,
he thought, coming within weapons reach of the monster. Incantations sounded all around Kalamir, laced in a dreadful cacophony with those horrified screams. Kalamir lunged to pierce the monster's hind leg, but the blade bounced off the black flesh.
If it is flesh at all, Kalamir thought, regaining control of his sword.
He swung the blade with all his might, but the sharp edge barely broke the surface of the monster's flesh. Stunned, Kalamir readied his weapon, but the monster spun. Its hind leg struck him and sent him tumbling backward. As Kalamir recovered, the barjans of those in the monster's grip shattered. Incantations were replaced with pained cries and desperate screams. A wave of barjan shot from Orjadayan's hands toward those of the expedition who were screaming. Those who had not been initially protected were rolling on the floor, clutching their heads.
Is that the haze? He wondered.
He had heard tales and myths about monsters that could make a person go mad. Creatures with strange, innate abilities didn't seem uncommon for the Abadine wasteland. Destructive incantations sounded amid the wailing. Those in the monster's clutches, now without their barjans, wailed in dying agony. Several wails were cut short, followed by thuds. Morjadayan spun. Those who had been swept up by the monster lay on the floor, frozen in their final moments of terror. He gasped as the monster snatched four more mages, including Felinia. Despite its captives' destructive barjans, the monster continued to squeeze each of them. An enraged growl left the monster's terrifying mouth, undoubtedly a result of clutching those deadly barjans. But the magic laced within those protective barriers didn't seem to be damaging the beast. The captive mages immediately ceased mustering their destructive spells and began uttering incantations to bolster their barjans, but not Felinia.
She's trying to kill it, he thought.
But Felinia's barjan might shatter before she had a chance to unleash her destructive blast. Morjadayan could not let that happen. He began uttering an incantation, blue light surging about him. If Felinia wasn't going to reinforce her barjan, then he would. Felinia felt her barjan flickering. The disintegrating magic between her hands intensified, but the spell was not quite finished. Her barjan had to hold long enough for her to deal the death blow. Bluish-purple particles danced across her destructive bubble. Was one of the barjanists attempting to protect her?
"Clever!"
the monster bellowed. It spun once again, lowering Felinia near its face.
"But your human mind is too slow to protect them, hedge-trancer."
A crack spread along Felinia's barjan as she finished her incantation. "Yes!" she cheered inwardly, unleashing the blast toward the monster's head. Part of the beam struck the enormous hand gripping her, but the disintegrating magic barely eroded the monster's flesh. Felinia started, but focused to condense the beam. The violet blast struck the monster's cheek, just below the eye, but the monster's cheek was as resilient as the flesh of its hand.
"Impressive!"
the monster cackled, then jerked its head away. Before Felinia could redirect her magic, the disintegrating blast sped to the monster's neck, striking a white metal cord thicker than a man's thigh. The cord, made from 3 woven strands of glistening metal, broke apart particle by particle. Bits of the blast seeped between the cords, striking the monster's neck, where the flesh seemed to be considerably weaker. If she couldn't pierce the monster's skull, then she would sever its head. The pressure on her barjan lessened as blue light surged across the weakened barrier. Odd, she thought. Had the monster eased its grip? A heartbeat later, the blue light completely enclosed her in a fresh bubble of barjan magic. As she pondered, her violet beam tore through the metal and struck the monster's neck, boring a hole through its dark flesh. A triumphant cackle left the monster's maw as the metal fell to the floor. Had it wanted me to strike there? But why? No matter, her disintegrating blast was tearing through the monster's flesh. She would sever its head in no time. While her magic bored a hole, several other mages finished their incantations. Acidic javelins struck the monster's black flesh, while arcane eruptions veiled the hallway in a blinding flash. Despite the magical assault, the monster appeared unfazed. What should have caused it intense pain seemed to do no more than simply tickle it.
How is that possible? Calamir wondered, lunging toward the monster's tail.
His blade struck between glistening plate-like sections that looked like an exterior skeleton of sorts. The monster's entire tail was lined with those plates, all the way to the 3 pincers at the tail's end. Calamir's blade, however, bounced right off the tail.
"Impossible!" he cried.
The monster whipped its tail, striking Calamir's barjan. He flew backward, hitting the white stone wall. As he recovered, the monster hurled the 4 mages that it had clutched in its claws. Each was surrounded by a fresh layer of barjan cast by Mr. Cheval. Miss Tussara was among those mages, unleashing her fury in a destructive beam. The monster sidestepped, evading the violet blast, but Miss Tussara redirected it in a beautiful display. Curving through the air, the disintegrating magic struck the monster's neck. Was the beast weaker there? The violet blast faded, revealing a deep divot below the monster's jaw.
"Focus on the neck!" Calamir shouted.
Arrows imbued with flaming magic flew from several soldiers, and one struck the spot eroded by Miss Tussara. Others struck the monster's flesh, but did not pierce the beast. The flaming shafts fell to the stone, one igniting a full pack of supplies. The monster bellowed an amused chuckle. It turned its head to Calamir, its violet eyes glowing. The eyes made Calamir start with panic.
"Do not give in to fear," he told himself, reciting the litany.
More arcane bolts, flaming orbs, and acidic javelins struck the monster's neck. Amid a blinding flash, the monster bellowed,
"Foolish humans!"
Was that mirth in its voice?
"You cannot slay me!"
A ping resounded throughout the hallway. Calamir blinked away the blinding flash, finding an orange line of light running between his legs and across the floor. The hall was about to change.
"We don't have time to kill this thing," he thought, his stomach wrenching.
Men and women, those who had been afflicted by the mist, were still screaming. Most were encased in barjan. Several were thrashing about among the expedition's supplies. As a result of the battle, the expedition was separated across 3 sections of hallway. With everyone scattered, Calamir couldn't see everybody to safety, and especially not with the battle raging. Even if they could escape, they would have to do so without their supplies. They would be cut off.
But what if the beast followed?
More deadly magic assailed the creature, but had little if any effect on it.
No, we have to run.
If they could time it right, perhaps they could lose the monster, or better yet, get it to cross the line as the hall changed.
That would kill it. Retreat!
Felinia finished mustering a dozen disintegrating orbs as the orange lines appeared in the walls, floor, and ceiling. Soldiers and mages bounded past her, heeding Calamir's command to flee. Though most of the expedition was running past her, there was a small group darting back to the stairs. Uldric, the necromancer who had reanimated the cisterns, was among them. Several dozen men and women were still thrashing on the floor amid the expedition's supplies, wailing and screaming.
They're going to be trapped, she thought.
This only delays the inevitable, the monster bellowed, swatting a fleeing soldier into the wall.
The blow made the man's barjan flicker. Before the soldier could resume his flight, the monster snatched him with its tail.
I will consume you all.
With her eyes fixed on the monster's neck, Felinia unleashed her orbs. The violet bolts whizzed above her fleeing comrades. Several struck the hole in the monster's neck while others circled the vile beast. Its head cocked, the monster swatted at the orbs. Two more pings echoed through the hall, and the monster shot a glance to the reddening lines between it and Felinia.
A pity,
the monster growled, settling its gaze on Felinia. As their eyes locked, a flash of white veiled the space between them. Before Felinia could blink, the monster and the screaming men and women were gone. Besides Uldric, five others managed to escape to the stairs. All six of them collapsed atop the landing. The sounds of battle had ceased, and no one was screaming.
Thank the channels.
What was that thing?
A soldier asked. Kayrun, one of the squad leaders, shook her head.
I don't know, but I never want to see it again.
What do we do now?
Another soldier asked. Taking in a deep breath, Uldric glanced to the hallway beyond the landing. It looked much like the other hall, well, without the monster.
We find a staircase, Kayrun said, and hope that thing doesn't come back to eat us.
What are we waiting for?
Uldric asked, shakily rising to his feet.
We should get going.
He stepped out of the landing and studied the hallway. Both ends went on for quite a way.
Great. Which way do we go?
If only he had kept his reanimated ice wolves. Once the danger in the crystal caverns had been dealt with, Uldric had dismissed the necrotic bond. The soldiers soon gathered around him, looking as perplexed as he felt.
I say we toss a coin, the first soldier said.
That's stupid, another spat. What if we go the wrong way?
We only have two choices, Kayrun said.
She sighed and looked down the hall both ways. She pointed to the left of the landing, what would have been the same direction as the expedition's original heading.
Let's go that way.
Why not the other way?
Another soldier asked.
Since these halls change, wouldn't we be going in a different direction than the others?
Exactly why I want to head that way, Kayrun said. That puts us as far away from the monster as possible.
With that, the squad leader led the way down the hall.
Hopefully, not to our deaths.
Felinia sighed and closed her eyes. Incessant cursing filled the newly changed hall, coming from Commander Calamir.
His temper is getting worse, she thought.
Only a fourth of the expedition was here. From what she gathered of Calamir's shouting, several squads' worth of men and women had run in a panic to the next section. That meant that the expedition had been spread across four sections of hallway.
Those with the supplies and the beast are probably dead, Felinia thought.
She ignored the commander's rant and studied the hallway. A solid wall barred the way to where the monster had been. On the opposite side, the hallway emptied into an intersecting corridor. Felinia set her jaw and glanced about. There were no other illusionists nearby.
I'll have to do all the scouting myself.
After Felinia mustered her illusions, Morjadayan and Dougal approached her. They tried speaking to her, but Felinia was too focused on finding a staircase to the 9th floor. Both illusions ran into dead ends, and Felinia was forced to backtrack to other branches in the halls. Eventually, she found the stairs and Vayam. Both Mindalarnians were together, sitting atop the stairs. Felinia found it odd that they were just sitting there until she noticed that walls blocked the first hall atop the 9th floor. In response to Felinia's report, Calamir spewed even more vehement curses.
"How dare she?" the commander growled.
"Calm yourself, sir," Dardell said. The commander shook his head.
"I want you to enthrall her," he told Felinia. "Pry everything she knows out of her."
Felinia tensed. She did not like the idea of forcing Vayam to tell them everything she knew, but then again, what other dangers were lurking in this place? After shouting several commands, Calamir began his march. Leading the survivors, Calamir stomped onto the landing beneath the stairs to the 9th floor, the rest of the expedition trailing behind him.
"You're going to tell me everything," he thought, eyeing Mistress Rudal.
The Mindalarnian scholar sat smugly atop the highest step, quietly conversing with the lieutenant. Had she known about the monster? She had insisted they keep moving.
"You killed my men."
Calamir spent no effort to hide his fury.
"Commander," Dardell said, "don't be hasty. Watch your tongue."
Calamir stifled a curse, his upper lip quivering. He had had enough of Mistress Rudal and her omissions. Once he was halfway up the staircase, the scholar noticed him.
"Stare at me," he thought. "I want you to see me coming."
Mistress Rudal eased forward, arching an eyebrow. She set her pack on the landing, touched her right glove below the thumb, and then descended the stairs.
"What audacity," Calamir whispered.
He quickened his pace, moving ahead of Dardell and the others. His second-in-command pled for him to reconsider, but Calamir was not going to back down. He was 10 steps away from Mistress Rudal when she spoke.
"Oh, Calamir, Calamir, you should have listened."
Now nearly within arm's reach, Calamir raised a fist. He swung at her while shouting,
"Why, you deceptive—"
Mistress Rudal grabbed his wrist with her gloved hand, and his fury dissipated. He studied her, confused, and glanced to the cuff of her glove, which had a pinkish tint to it. His fleeing anger left a void in his heart, but it was soon filled with a burning passion, a desire for her, for Vayam. Though he had wanted to strike her, now all he wanted to do was embrace her. Her beauty. Why hadn't he noticed it before?
"Oh, Vayam."
She eased her grip and lowered his arm. What had he been doing? That didn't matter. His only concern was for her, to please her. Calamir stepped closer, drinking in her beauty. He yearned to please her. He would take her here and now on these steps. Passion swelling, Calamir reached for Vayam, but she stepped back.
"Later," she whispered, pressing her free hand to his chest. "Not here."
Calamir's heart raced.
"Once we're safe," she whispered. "I promise."
The word tamed his lust. How, he did not know.
"We need to keep moving,"
Vayam said. The soldiers and mages groaned. They sounded tired, but that didn't matter. It's not what she wanted. He would give her what she wanted.
"We keep climbing,"
Calamir said, his eyes trained on Vayam's lush figure. Someone spoke to him, but he didn't know who, nor cared. All that mattered was Vayam.
"Come," Vayam said, turning around. "We have a long way yet."